You are listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, episode 25 for October 2009.
It fell a thousand years ago, green fire, so hot. A carbon and a man and a super plan, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his ring from Offensor. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. The Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast is sponsored by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can find all the latest news, interviews, and reviews on everything Green Lantern talk about on their forums. Check them out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com and tell them the Spotlight sent you. I'm your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster and creator of the Green Lantern Spotlight, and has one more week to go of freedom. Oh, guys, I am so very tired right now over everything. I'm wearing both the Compassion and the Black Lantern rings to keep myself moving under my own power. So, without further ado, let's teleport the crew in here. Of course, WS, the co-webmaster behind the Speedster site, wishing he was attending my bachelor party this weekend. How you doing, Wes?
Doing good.
All right, and of course, Rainer2814, the new Science Cell Warden. How's it going in the Science Cell there, Ray?
The food could be better.
Oh. Of course, Muzar, the original Starro and Time Traveler. How are you doing, Mew?
Good and evil are meaningless. It's only power.
And, of course, Kuan, creator of the Real View Mirror podcast, reminding me why I won't own pets for a number of years. How you doing, Kuan?
Hey, Ryan, I'm happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish, but John Centers is the best podcast host of all time.
Word. And finally, our sponsor and the other guy who wants to come to my bachelor party, of course, Andrew NDB. How you doing, Andrew?
Hey, good, man. What's happening?
Oh, man, not much. Just, getting the apartment together, finishing table arrangements, and ready to just get drunk on Saturday. That's me.
You too? Damn.
Yeah, so they actually buy me drinks, so I don't spend any money except for gas.
Don't waste your money.
Is anybody else sick? Like, everybody I know is sick, including myself.
My brother is not feeling good, and I've got some sinus problems, so it's...
Earlier this week, I was sick. I popped pills like crazy.
In the past 3 weeks, I've missed like 4 days of school.
Yeah, you've been really sick.
Yeah, you almost made it to school on Tuesday, and then stop in Burger King parking lot, threw up.
You sick fuck.
Hey, it's my personal statement on their food.
Yep, and that's exactly it. Well, guys, we got a little thing going on here with the podcast tonight, but we're going to start with the first little bit of news here. So, Kuan, give me the first bit of news playoff there. Oh, yeah. Playing it out on your Thursday nights, folks. Anyhow, how big is Blackest Night? Well, according to the latest issue of Green Lantern Corps, of course, it's so huge they're actually going to skip a month in January because Ivan Reiss has got to draw the gigantic, huge, possibly triple-size finale in March. So happy birthday to me, folks. So in doing so, they're going to skip over the titles, and what happens is these Blackest Night miniseries are going to come in January to actually pick up the original title numbers from all these former canceled series such as Power of Shazam 48, Catwoman 83, Suicide Squad 67, Question 37, Phantom Stranger 42, I didn't even know it made it that far, Weird Western Tales 71, and of course Adam and the Hawkman 46, and of course Starman 81, which I think is the best news I read out of those. But basically this is how they're described. Power of Shazam 48, Eric Wallace tells a tale in which Osiris returns from the dead. Well, we've been pretty much waiting this, and he's intending to chewed the fat, air quotes, with a very powerless Billy and Mary Baston as left over from Jeff Johns' final issue of Justice Society. Over in Catwoman, Fabian, of course, has got the original black mask, explaining to Selina why shooting him in the head was a bad idea. Wes, what do you think about shooting the original black mask in the head? Why do you think it was a bad idea?
Possibly because he's going to become a zombie and kill her.
That's my best on it. And of course,
it's because his stock fell down.
I think it's racism.
Oh!
Why he gotta be black, huh? Come on. Why's he gotta be black? Whatever.
Yeah. Of course, over in Suicide Squad, of course, John Ostranger returns to bring Deadshot's past back to haunt him. That means a lot of dead guys that are going to be really pissed off at him. So, boy, that's like about, what, 40 Z-list supervillains or something? Wow, they're going to be really mad at him. Forget the Secret Six. Over in Question, Greg Rucka, of course, will answer the question, what happens when two questions meet? Yes. And what is... Never mind. Of course, over in Phantom Stranger, Peter Tomasi reveals what the Blackest Night means to the Phantom Stranger. I think it just means him, you know, talking to a dead man and just saying, so, that's your grave, huh? Anyhow. Over in Weird Western Tales, yes, Dan DiDio himself is going to come and talk about the old dead West characters meeting the new West characters. No comment. Adam and Hawkman, of course, we're going to have the Black Lantern Hawks work to reunite the Adam with his long-dead wife, Jean Loring. And over in Starman 81, let's just say James Robinson brings our favorite character, Jack Knight, to meet his old haunt. So that should be pretty interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to Starman and definitely Adam and Hawkman, and I definitely am going to check out the Suicide Squad. Probably the question, but we'll see. What do you think, West?
I hate the idea because this is a lot of books, and that's a lot of pointless books. I think we got it through the first 3 months of Blackest Night that the DCU is filled with zombies. I don't need to see the rebirth of old series to get that in my head. I got it. I'm done with it. I'll be picking up the question, of course, Catwoman and the Suicide Squad, but everything else is a maybe for me.
So how is that Red Lantern ring?
And speaking of Red Lantern, what do you think about all this, Mew?
Yeah, I think I'm the least person that has Red Lantern over all this because I'm going to be getting them all. I mean, they've all got their own little appeals about them, and I kind of want to see how each of these old books comes about because some of them were canceled, I think, even before I started reading comics.
Well, Western Tales was canceled long before any of us were born.
That's definitely worth a pickup, because I want to see what a Black Lantern Jonah Hex looks like. I mean, he was already ugly enough as is alive.
I have a face!
100-something years of rotting has to do something to him.
It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Dan DiDio always loved the Western Tales, so it should be pretty interesting. What about you, Andrew?
Completely... neutral on pretty much all of these. I don't have any affinity for any of these characters. I'm interested in Adam and Hawkman, just because that deals with Jean Loring, and finally there's some comeuppance there.
What a douchebag.
You're so boring me, just so you know.
It's Judd Wignett's Superman arc all of a sudden. And
has Jack Knight even been confirmed for the Starman 81?
He's not going to be in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's not going to be in there because he said if he was going to bring him back, he'd want to bring him back in something bigger than a one-shot.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he'll be mentioned.
So the rest, yeah, I don't care. I'll buy them all, but I don't really care.
Here's a question.
That might win you over.
How is it that DC can get Dennis O'Neil to write 2 issues of Batman, but they can't get him...
They don't get him for the question.
The question, but they got the original artist for the question.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't make sense.
Because they've got Greg Rucka, that's why.
Because Jeff is tight with Greg.
Yeah, because Greg Rucka's like, I want to write a question. Okay, Greg Rucka.
They're homie G's.
That's a bitch move.
Well, he gave him, you know, a year's supply of razors for his head, so he was like, I'm in.
You just know Dennis would have done it, too.
In a second.
One issue, and it would have been a lot cheaper.
And Jeff could have been like, you know, this is the background. This is what you're kind of doing. And, you know, from here, from these guidelines, you know, you make your own story. He would have played ball.
And you say it like it was going to be a big story arc in the first place. Like, this issue is completely irrelevant. And the fact that they brought back the original artist is just, like, why?
I mean, as they're admitting, this whole thing is an afterthought. So how relevant could it possibly be?
Right.
Yeah, you bring up
maybe that's
point.
The point. Maybe his schedule was booked.
Also possible. Who knows?
I would love for you to tell me what has he done since the last Batman issue.
Wes, why are you a giant asshole?
Anyhow, before we go too far in that, anyhow, Ray, what do you think?
He's been taking long naps. Just saying.
I'm in agreement with Andrew. I'm going to be picking them all up, but I mean, there's not really much that's gonna happen. I mean, you're bringing back a bunch of, you know, canceled issues. You're gonna be renumbering them from like the original number, but that's pretty much like, you know, the big appeal. The most of the stories aren't gonna pertain like what happened in these previous stories, except for the Catwoman, from what I can see.
You know,
it's gonna have something to do with what's going on in Blackest Night, and that's about it.
Right. Well, and another thing is, you know, it would be cool if they're bringing back all the original numbers. I'd love it if they brought back the original prices with all these issues too. I could pick up Western Tales for a dime.
A dime, yes.
So yeah, I could actually would be able to get all these books and then spend $5 all together. I'd be like, DC, you've sold me better than the 9-cent Fantastic Four issue.
I will say that from a marketing standpoint, it's pretty creative. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the number zeros during Zero Hour and the number 1 millions during DC 1 million. Now you got a bunch of dead people coming back from the dead. What do you do? You have the dead series come back to it.
Exactly.
I like the concept.
Yeah, it's not a bad concept.
And just imagine how many people wanted to continue these series. Like, just give me one more taste of it, please. And like, bam, one issue. Here you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, one issue of mindless zombies.
I'm trying to think.
And speaking of mindless, Kuan, what do you think?
Oh, wow. You know, you caught me at a bad time because I wasn't really paying attention. What were we talking about again?
Jesus.
Okay.
The 8-1 shots.
No. Right, yeah. So, I don't really care.
Well, then there we go. All right, well, the only other bit of news is the Blackest Night hardcover solicitation info, which is currently being exclusively over Twitter. Wes, you want to talk about anything about that?
Yes, I want to talk to you. Blackest Night, the hardcover, will be released in March, I believe it was said. No, May 2010.
Yeah, May.
And it's 30 pages. No. God.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I can't find it. Now I can't find it. What the fuck?
Volume
it's
one.
It's an issue.
I love it.
It's like an issue in a couple pages, something like that. Yeah. 30 pages.
Hence is the Blackest Night, anywho. Okay. Well, then.
All right, hold on. I found it.
Oh, you found it. Okay, now we're good.
Oh, God, my computer's restarting.
Don't start.
Okay.
Oh God.
All right.
Don't go.
July 6, 2010. 304 pages. The Blackest Night hardcover is going to be sold for $30.
Oh, man, it's 300. Oh, man, I thought it was 30. I thought it was the Clift version of Blackest Night.
Blackest Night Clift Notes.
I just wanted to mention that because it seems a little light or lackluster to me. You're charging $30 for a regular hardcover book for 300 pages, and that's all we get. It doesn't seem like it's going to feature any specific GL issues.
$1 for 10 pages? That's not good.
I'm feeling like it's not going to be anything bulk. I'm feeling like it's going to be the 8 issues, and that's it.
You all go to Ivan Rice and tell him that you don't want to pay $1 for 10 pages.
I'm telling you, we're getting 40-plus issues of tie-ins, and none of it is essential to this story if they're not bothering to collect it in a hardcover. It's not even a deluxe edition, and Batman R.I.P. got that.
It's probably just a separate hardcover.
To be fair, if I was them, I would do it in two different ways. I would have one Blackest Night trade paperback that includes number 0 through 8, and then have one that's more of a director's cut that includes just the Green Lantern issues and the Green Lantern core issues. And little bits that are essential here and there from the other tie-ins, but not
You realize
not
that's...
Everything.
We'll
probably get Blackest Night
24 issue?
Yeah, why not?
Look
at the Return of Superman trade paperback.
Are you going to buy 24 issues?
Yeah.
I'll buy it.
Yeah. You got more money than
buying
me, guys.
An omnibus, a whole series run. I'm not going to read 24 issues on my lap.
I would rather do that than I'd rather do that than have to dig out like 24 issues out of my bags and boards every time I want to read it.
No, that I have to agree with.
If you take what they're giving us now, the $30, 304 pages, that's 8 issues. I'm okay with that. It may or not have zero.
But all my Kirby volumes have like 396 pages. And
it's a bitch to put on your lap, isn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoy holding it in my lap and reading every damn page.
Well, we'll table about the price on page per page right now. So the only other little news we'll do is there's some early previews, of course, for the other rest of the January news is over in Green Lantern 50. That's right, folks. Double size anniversary issue. Can I get a yay?
Yay!
Whoa. This is double size?
Yes.
That's what it said.
I missed everything.
Wes, I think you need to reset your Twitter than your computer. But anyhow,
it's not double sized; it's oversized. It's over 40 pages.
It's oversized.
That's what you need.
That just means he gets more splash pages.
Yeah, with Doug Mankey art. Good old Doug Mankey.
And we pay what, $2 more?
Yeah, it's $3.99. It's a buck more.
$1.
Anywho, so basically in Green Lantern 50, basically Hal Jordan, surrounded by enemies and friends, has to battle the one being he can never defeat, the Black Lantern Spectre. And can St. Water, Sinestro, and others put a stop to this bizarre Spectre? Plus, Atrocitus reveals a tie to a power that may make him the most unbeatable of all the Lanterns. That's right, folks. We finally meet the Red Lantern entity. And then over in Green Lantern Corps, can anything stop Red Lantern Guy Gardner? And then what was that? Yep, Red Lantern Guy Gardner. Anyhow, and then in Blackest Night, the Flash, Captain Cold doesn't like the run, but now he's got to, as he's tangled in Necron's ultimate plan that he could ever imagine. He's faced with all the rogues of the past, from the original Top to his sister Golden Glider. And over in Blackest Night, Justice Society number 2, the Black Lantern Lois Lane confronts Power Girl, and it could mean her funeral. Written by James Robinson. And then over in Blackest Night, Wonder Woman number 2, Diana must face her greatest challenge. Death has always walked with her, but who will guide her into the light? Her mother, her sister, or her lover? And then of course, that's the rest of the Black Lantern tie-ins, except for Secret 617, where, of course, the Suicide Squad, which picks up from Suicide Squad 67, as they battle the Secret Six, thanks to Deadshot. It's all Deadshot's fault, folks.
S's. The Suicide Squad says the sinks the Secret Six and Deadshot.
Bam! That is the Green Lantern news here.
You know, that I think that last link wasn't supposed to be in there. There doesn't seem to be any mention of Blackest Night at all. It just seems kind of like an odd audition.
That's because it's following Secret Suicide Squad 67.
see, there's just too many S's tonight. Suicide Squad Secret Six. It's
Squad 67, Secret 6 number 17, people.
Brought to you by Ray. Anywho. Well, as we move away from the news and your tongue twisters for the night.
There are a few things you might want to talk about on this cover. Like, for example, the Parallax cover.
Yeah, that's
the cover with Kyle being burned alive by Red Energy. Kyle.
Yeah, by Kyle, because we got Red Lantern Guy Gardner.
Or is that what's killing him, or is that he's killed, the reason why he's getting Red Energy out?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty sure that's just an image, you know.
It's fantasy effects, or is it that guy's focusing all his anger on Tom for some reason?
Exactly.
We're fans, we're supposed to debate that. We're not just supposed to say it's fake.
That does kind of imply, it does imply one thing, that it may not be Kyle that dies.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between fan and nerd.
They're geeks.
Oh, Suhan, you stabbed us all.
Oh, I'm so hurt.
I was making a joke to
Kuhan, you're on the Green Lantern podcast. You are a nerd.
Exactly. All right, well, we'll move away from the news and head over to our reviews. So before we get, of course, to the blitz of Blackest Night Batman, we will now move to Green Lantern Corps number 41, The Children of the Corps.
The Children of the Corps.
I'm tired. Anyhow. Over on Oa, the Green Lantern Infirmary, of course, Serenic Natu and, of course, Princess Ai are fighting off the various Black Lanterns, trying to keep them from killing the various injured Green Lanterns. Unfortunately, they sadly fail as more and more of Green Lanterns are killed and their hearts are ripped out, and they are slowly turning to Black Lanterns. A Black Lantern that is destroyed start slowly reforming around Serenic, but, of course, Princess Ai frees her. But of course, as they go into full power mode, they blast all the surrounding Black Lanterns into pieces. But as they reform, Princess Ai and Saranik Natu quickly make a break for it. Meanwhile, on the surface, Guy Gardner has Ki-Han, of course, stabbed him through his leg with his horn. And as Ki-Han talks about how they basically left him on Bayat to rot with the rest of the Manhunters, Guy finally has it, breaks off his horn, incinerates Ki-Han. But then he sees he's reforming, so he says, crap, crappity crap. And he incinerates his body to basically a small iota. And then we move back into the Green Lantern Infirmary, where they are still fighting the various Black Lanterns. Vaz says that they will help fight the Black Lanterns, but Saranik tells them no, they will go, and she surrounds all of them in green energy bubbles and sends them to the safest place they can think of, Mogo. They quickly head up to the surface to follow the various Green Lanterns to Mogo when Saranik sees that Kyle is being beaten by Jade with his various dead girlfriends and boyfriends and some other things I just don't know about anyhow. But Saranik basically gets in and starts attacking Jade and gets to the side. Jade basically says, like, don't you know who I am? I'm Kyle's love of his life, because he lied to you. You see, he saw me in the Star Sapphire's crown. Well, basically, Saranik says, shut up, and blows her head open. That's right, folks. Old girlfriend, don't mess with a new girlfriend. Meanwhile, farther above Oa, I don't know why we're on lower Oa, middle Oa, and higher Oa, but anyhow, Arisa is finally fighting the various Black Lanterns that are her parents. They get into a huge battle, saying that she is disgracing their memory, but soon they'll be reunited. However, Arisa finally loses control as they enter the Inner Sanctum and then creates Green Lantern constructs of her family and incinerates all of them. And she says as long as she is alive, she will never have the Rab name dishonored by the Corps, and then she leaves. Meanwhile, Kilowog and the other various Green Lantern rookies are firing off Black Lanterns. Unfortunately, a huge power burst kills everybody but Kilowog, and he is soon confronted by the person who fired at them. Of course, his old drill sergeant, Lanter Ermery. The two get in a huge battle as Ermery keeps calling him Brillowog, and basically Kilowog goes to town on him, beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him until he basically rips out his chest, but then Lantern Ermery says, well, that's okay, you pulverized my heart. I'll just take yours, as he starts craving his hand into Kilowog's chest. Meanwhile, Vasan and Ismat Kol are finding more Black Lanterns on Oa, and of course they are slowly losing them as they're confronted by the various Green Lanterns that were killed in the Sector House back during the Sinestro Corps War. However, all of a sudden they are shot by the Children of the White Loeb, who have all come back as Black Lanterns, and they start attacking everybody. And then all of a sudden they see a bright light. Bright light, bright, bright, and it's Indigo too, comes to save the day, saying, I feel your pain, Green Lanterns. These vile abominations must now feel their own. End of issue.
It's not the Children of the White Loeb.
They are not the Children of the White Loeb, or are they the Children of the Green Lantern? That's my question.
They're Children of the Corn.
Exactly.
Jeff Loeb.
It's already been confirmed that these are not the Children of the White Loeb.
They are just the various children.
Yeah, they nicknamed them the Corphans or something.
The Corphans, I like that name.
Oh, that's so bad.
I know. This was an interesting issue. There was a lot of action. They had some cool moments. I think the best is when Saranik Natu basically blew Jade's head open. I got a really kick out of that, or the fact Guy Gardner kept constantly incinerating Ki-Han's body and it kept reforming. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to leave now. Bye-bye. Otherwise, not really much else happened in this issue. We knew the whole confrontation between Ermey and Kilowog was coming. And, you know, Indigo, you know, 2 showing up, we already knew that in Blackest Night number 3 that he was going there. So I'll give this a B-. It wasn't bad. It was some nice art. Losing my voice. But really, it's just kind of slowly moved the story to Blackest Night 4, whatever's going to happen there. Kuhan, what about you?
I sort of read through this. It was, you know, it was pretty good in the beginning. It was like, hey, yeah, this is kind of cool. And then, hey, yeah, now stuff's happening. And, hey, yeah, the guy with the bad puns is back. Awesome. More bad puns. Great.
That's pretty much it.
Kilowog. Couldn't come up with much better.
It's Kilowog!
Yeah, and then that is the thing. Where like most of it's, you know, pretty good character moments, and then Kilowog's this little whiny bitch. It's annoyed me to hell. He's like, you trained me. You're dead. I carried you back here on my shell.
Yeah, big deal.
My name's Kilowog. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Don't mess with Chief Wiggum, yeah. What would be your final grade for the issue?
Right after that, it gets better. Like, oh, this is creepy. The Corphins.
God. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow. And then the Indigo dude shows up. I was like, oh, well, now I'm interested in what's going to happen next. But this issue seemed to be, well, I think it was, here's the deal. It was justification for Tales of the Core number 3, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was justification for that issue. That's all this was. It's like, oh, yes, if you read that book, you will get these character moments. If you didn't, well, screw you.
Exactly. And here's Indigo, too, everybody. He's cool.
Electric Boogaloo.
This is resolving why you spent $4 on that crappy book, and it's setting up the next book. There you go. Happy birthday.
And Ray.
I give it like a D+.
Ooh, Ray?
Oh, happy birthday.
Wait, whoa. Was that a B or a D?
D+. He gave it a D+, right?
As in dumb?
He said C+.
I heard D.
Did he leave or something? Why are you not talking?
Come on!
My dad started talking to me. C+.
Oh, C+.
C+. Okay. C+. All right.
Told you, bitch!
All right, anyhow, Ray, go right ahead.
The issue itself is happy birthday. The issue itself is it's interesting. It has those little moments. I mean, it's a lot faster pace than most of the other issues that's been going on. So it's like it starts off with hard hitting. It starts off with Saturday Night Nacho saying "Shut up, bitch," and it just starts off with Guy Gardner like running.
Run, Guy, run.
And so it's crazy. It's a crazy issue. I didn't dislike it. If I have to give it a grade, I'll give it like a solid B- just because it wasn't that great, but it was good. It kept me entertained for the most part. I mean, it's true. You have to pick up the previous Tales of the Core issues just to know who Emery was. I mean, it's true. It's explained for a time a bit with Killua going, no, you died in my arms. I'm getting into specifics here. You got shot in the back.
And you saved Sinestro. Good one there.
Well, I saved Sinestro. Understand, all these things happened in that issue where you died. So,
there's your $3.99, folks.
So it was cool. I like that he came looking like a dead, undead, like, you know, freaking Nazi soldier, going like, ha-ha, brittle log. I can't believe I trained you so horribly. My core's going to die smiling on my face as I'm getting my freaking face beat in.
Yet.
He had 15 years to come up with a better pun, and he still only came up with Brilla Log, a follow-up.
Hey, from what we saw, it pushed his buttons really well. It is Killawog, damn it. Killawog.
I was just waiting for him to say Poozer. He'd be like, that's my line!
You copyright infringement.
All right, how about you, Mew?
Oh, it wasn't that bad of an issue, but like a lot of people said, just some of these moments were just a little bit weird, like with the drill sergeant just keeping up with the Brilla Log. While he probably wasn't thanking being dead for that period of time, he could have come up with something a little bit better and more personal on the spot, like he could have pointed out that his entire race was dead. That would have probably been a button pusher.
Right.
I mean, come on, if you're going to be evil, at least really just rub the freaking cigarette burn right into his eye.
Or you know, it's like, hey, you came back from the dead first, so haha, you copied my trick too, haha.
Overall, it was a good issue. Just there were just the moments where it's just like questionable. What the fuck is wrong with you?
If you're right, what Kuan just said, you would get it. Anywho, what would be your final gray, Mew?
Thank you for running my little moment in the spotlight. I hope you burn in hell. B.
All right, and what about you, Wes? Now that you're ready.
I'm so sorry about that. I thought it was a okay issue. No, I didn't. I thought it
was... Yeah, it was okay. No, it wasn't. That's the sarcasm ring there circling now.
I am.
You have to have a tone for the sarcasm. You get to say, ha ha, just kidding.
I am so done with Gleason's art. It does nothing for me. At this point, I'm not even adjusted to it. There are artists out there that I enjoy. There are artists out there that I respect. And this is an artist out there that has to have, like, one of the most worst inking teams ever, because I know his pencils look good, but this book is just hideous to me. And it really hurts the book. I mean, I get the blood splash, the black blood splashing everywhere. I got the moments with Ermory and Killawalt, and like y'all said, it did nothing for me, and we read the book. Kyle and Jade, I wish I was happy with this, because it's what I wanted. I wanted to see Jade return, and I wanted to see what she would make Kyle feel, but I'm not feeling it. I don't care anymore. I'm ready to move on. I want to see some Kyle and Blackest Night fighting Necron. I want to get to it. Maybe they shouldn't have let us know who the big bad was, because now that's all I'm thinking about. This issue was fast-paced, full of sloppy art, and didn't move the story along. D minus.
Ooh, Andrew. Top that.
I'd say this is probably about the best issue of Core you can get.
Oh my god.
He topped it.
I love it.
This is officially...
Given the format and the nature of the ensemble cast, I mean, they pretty much spotlighted everybody for the first time in a while. Almost everybody got equal attention, which kind of brought some things to a slower pace with, like, Kyle, and then we got just a glimpse, and then we moved on. But pretty much equal attention was paid to everybody. I mean, we got lots of wheels spinning in the air. Nothing really groundbreaking happened in here, but that's just kind of the nature of these tie-ins and such. You can't get a lot that happens in here, but I mean, if you take this issue and compare it to, like, issue 4 or 5 or 12 of Green Lantern Corps, or any random issue that's not, like, a big event or something, and this is about the best you can get. I mean, I didn't love the issue. I thought it's very capably done. About Gleason's art, I thought this is actually one of the better issues we've seen of his art. And in fact, that one page, it's almost a splash, but it's not, with Kyle and Sorenik there. That's actually probably the best drawing or rendition he's done of Kyle yet, I think. I thought that was very good. I love the shot with Killawalt just crushing this motherfucker's chest with his book. See the guts spilling out and the rib cage spreading open. I thought that was cool.
It's Killawog!
But like you guys, I thought
Brillawog.
I thought the Brillawog thing was a little weak. I thought that wasn't.
It didn't, we could have at like least gotten the Full Metal Jacket language.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Ermy. Okay, we get it. It's a knockoff of Arlie Ermy, but it's good though. It's good. Not a very good cliffhanger. Not that I really judge things based on that. The Corphans, I don't even know where that's going. I mean,
yeah.
Did these kids die at some point? I don't even
know. I don't
apparently
know.
All their necks were slit at one point. I don't know.
They were all trapped in those on that planet full of rib cages, and they were all starving to death because...
malnourishment.
Yeah, that was them. Crib, come back! My babies! You want to eat
me? Mother, we're hungry.
Mother, we need hearts now! Roar! Compassion.
Probably by the time the Black Lantern rings came, probably like half of them had eaten one another, and then that's when the ring comes, like right inside of them, and rips them open.
Oh man, that puts the exploding babies from the second podcast to shame.
Babies killing one another for sustenance.
And then exploding open due to black rings.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting if they're all alive. If they were given rings. As they were alive.
That's possible. Well, I guess we'll find out here next month. All right. Well, moving away from Green Lantern Corps, we'll move, of course, to Blackest Night Batman number 3. So, Ray, if you want to hit that old review there.
Blackest Night Batman. Well, the book pretty much starts off with Dick Grayson as Batman coming to from crashing the plane to a cemetery, where it's actually a giant circus tent. That is an illusion made from, you know, both his their parents, from Dick Grayson and Tim Drake, as they now have to, like, go up against their own kin. The only zombies that they themselves wish they weren't facing off against. But they know in their hearts that they're not real, that they are actually just fabrications. But it's so hard to come to terms. The issue itself is actually pretty good. The strongest part of the I don't know if I'm sorry, I'm like just doing this off the top of my head in this review or in this.
It's the Blitz.
It's Blitz. The way the story progresses is pretty much the confrontation between them having to come to terms that, you know, they, even though they know it's an illusion of their own family coming back from the dead, but it is not them in truth. It's just, you know, a bunch of zombies taking, you know, just an empty husk coming back to, like, you know, demean the meaning of what they feel. And then you have Etrigan the demon, also, who appears in this book to come and spill hellfire and brimstone
and speaking rhymes.
And speaking rhymes. And does nothing.
As played by Powers Booth.
As played by Powers Booth. We also get a glimpse as to a way to deter zombies from possessing or ripping the heart out of a living human flesh. And we also get Damien doing nothing and being a dick. That's about it.
Yeah, what would be your final thoughts on the issue?
To review, I say it was pretty strong in the way that most of the emotions were going. I mean, the way Dick Grayson had to, like, you know, portray, you know, having to give a lecture to Tim Drake, Red Robin, as to, like, you know, as to what he feels he should not feel for these characters, that he should accept that they're dead, even though he became a hypocrite for taking the hands of his father, and, you know, going and doing the high flying act with him. It was also pretty interesting the moment where they started beating the living hell out of Tony Zuko and Boomerang, Captain Boomerang. I mean, they just started wailing on these guys.
That's for this one. That's for my appearance. That's for appearing on a Paul Dini show.
I mean, the really good thing about it is how strong a connection these two Robins have. I mean, with the deaths of their families. You know, how they start beating. It's like the good moment where Tim Drake was saying, you know, he wished there was a giant reset button, that he wished he could take back this moment in time and, like, you know, and prevent it from happening. But it will never. It cannot happen. Once it happens, it cannot be undone until DC decides to do it. but aside from that, you know, I actually give this issue a B+. A high grade, because it was very good. I actually liked it. I mean, the one thing that doesn't rate a higher grading for me is just because it is a tie-in issue. I mean, these three issues, solid as they may be, it doesn't really contribute all that much into Blackest Night itself until we'll see later. But for now, it doesn't contribute that much into it. It was just Batman fighting zombies, and then Batman having to freeze himself to not be killed by zombies.
Yeah,
Batman fighting zombies isn't good enough for you.
It rates B+ for me.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I loved it between, you know, Dick and Tim there, what they were talking about, and the kind of the wailing on, you know, the people who killed their parents and everything. And, you know, it was a nice issue, but, you know, there was Entregan, you know, favorite character of mine, doing nothing, technically. But, you know, the art was nice, and, you know, it was okay. I mean, I flipped through it, I looked at it, so, you know, I'll give it a plain old B. That's my thoughts on it. Andrew, what about you?
And this issue was solid. I would say it was very solid.
I didn't really like it, and it didn't really change anything. Nothing really much happened to give it a good sense of, like if you were to look back on all three issues, there's no real thing that you would think, like, oh, okay, this is why they did this miniseries. There's not really any of that, but it's fun. I mean, they kind of dance that line where it's like they need to convey that Tim and Dick are hip to what the Black Lanterns are, that they're not really their loved ones, but they kind of want to still do the bit where it's like they kind of fall into that a little bit. And they kind of have to. I mean, if they didn't to any degree, it's almost like, what's the point? So I like the balance Tomasi played with that here. Other than that, it's just very much by the numbers. everything with Tim's parents and Dick's parents pretty much plays out more or less like you'd expect, but I liked it nonetheless. A little bit confused by the part where they froze each other, and how did that make it so they didn't show up with the black...
Stop their hearts.
Yeah, henceforth...
They try to stop their hearts.
Literally stop their hearts.
Yeah, henceforth, no emotion can't pull them out.
And it looks like the demon, or maybe it's Dead Man, or is that the white light that they're detecting in there?
No, it's... There's not a heart drip on Etrigan.
But it did the same squiggly line thing as it did with Dove.
There's some kind of mystical cosmic thing going on that certain characters just can't...
In these terms, as far as we can see, mystical beings such as, the chaos and order, they're mystical beings, apparently have, for order, has no, magic has no say for scientific-based lanterns.
Right.
That's what these black lanterns are. They're just reanimated corpses. It doesn't mean that it's any shape, way, actual, supernatural.
Yeah, it's basically the ring piloting the body.
That's what Jeff confirmed recently. He said he pretty much echoed what he wrote the Atom say in the last issue of Blackest Night about all the black lanterns are simulations by the ring from a dead body. But yeah, I like this issue. It was good. I gave it like a B+, I suppose.
Oh, okay. What about you, Mew?
I like the issue too. It was really solid. Like everyone's saying, one of the things I loved Etrigan's comment on Gotham City that it puts out abominations worse than hell does.
Right.
I mean, because Gotham City has some pretty messed up things, and to him, he probably hasn't even noticed that the Black Lanterns are hit before that, because, being in hell.
There's not a lot of compassion in Gotham.
But yeah, on the whole, I did like the issue. I like the emotions that Dick and Tim had to go through as they had to face their parents, knowing, at least specifically with Dick more than Tim, that these were just monsters just using their parents as suits, yet... There was just that one little part of them that just wanted it to be real. I thought that was a strong little character moment. I mean, overall, it may not have had the biggest impact, but who knows? It might have more of a big impact as the series goes on, and we might get a little bit more on Batman's side.
Yeah,
and the mini
Right.
I think if we didn't have this miniseries and we didn't see a lot of Batman in them, I think after the whole thing, we'd be like, what were they doing during all this? So it's nice to have, I suppose.
It's almost a necessary little tie-in. Because you can't leave Batman out of such a big event without touching on it once.
Right. Well, what about you, Wes? We know you've been waiting.
Overall, I'll have to give it a little generous A-.
Uh-oh. Get back, folks. Here comes Wes.
Okay. Wait. Hate! Go, Wes.
Yeah, not a fan of this issue. Not a fan of this series. Specifically, the...
I'm off the 0 for 2.
I won't even get on Green Lantern Corps right now. Specifically this issue, Peter Tomasi cannot write Damian Wayne. He sucks again with the Damian. It's garbage. And Ardience Seoff cannot draw Damian Wayne. That's terrible.
So-and-so can't edit Damian Wayne.
How do you expect him to be drawn?
I expect him to be drawn the same way he's drawn by Frank Quietly, by Andy Kubert.
Authentic 10-year-old.
Frank Quietly didn't draw it.
He doesn't look like a real 10-year-old boy.
He doesn't look anything like Andy Kubert.
Wes isn't happy unless he sees 10-year-old boys running around.
Philip, we need you.
The guy had 20-plus issues to find of Damian, and he made the worst copy ever. But that's not why I hate this issue. I hate this issue...
Yeah, there are a thousand reasons to hate this issue.
There are a thousand, but I'm only going to touch on 50.
Oh, no. Alicia scaled it down.
He's being subtle with us.
He's going to just name off one at a time now.
Let me just wrap this up. Other than Damian, I hate the fact that DC cannot get Tim Drake's personality consistent through the books he's appearing in. If you're going to make him develop in the Red Robin, which takes him to another, I don't want to say personality, but mindset, then you should have that reflected in every issue. If you throw him in the Blackest Night Batman, he should have the same mindset he has in his own series and the same mindset he has in Adventure Comics. That being said, if you go to the GreenLanternCorps.com, you'll continuity is between this book, Adventure Comics, and Red Robin by myself.
Wait, hold on a second.
Wait, did he just massively curse right now?
Yes, he did.
I didn't
like,
curse.
The continuity of like Red Robin and Action Adventure Comics, like all those stuff. I mean, Blackest Night is after all of that. So how do you know where he's going to be? You know,
Did you read the post? Did you read the post? Because I'll read it right now. I swear to God.
I did not read the book.
I'll read that motherfucking post.
Read the post. I want to hear this.
In issue one of Red Robin, he's in Madrid. He disrupts the kidnapping 4 hours after he left a country. Toledo, Spain is his fourth city in 7 days. He then hits Paris. 20 minutes into Paris, and he's disrupting another crime. And then comes to a set realization that Bruce is alive while being watched by the League of Assassins. In Blackest Night, Batman number one, Dick calls Tim, who is apparently still in Paris, and tells him to come to Gotham ASAP. And we know he does. In a matter of minutes, apparently, in a giant bat plane, whatever. However, if we look in issue 2 of Red Robin, he's attacked by that.
She's attacked by that blank.
Uh-oh.
And if Gotham is in Eastern Standard Time, since it's so close to New York.
Attacked by that, and then you say nothing, and then Eastern Standard Time in Gotham is over here.
Oh, you didn't hear me.
No, you didn't.
Best cutaway ever. Eastern Standard Time in Gotham. Check in now.
That's staying in.
Attacked by the League at night. Mind you, that if Gotham is in Eastern Standard Time and it's at night during Blackest Night Batman number one when Dick calls Tim, and it's night in Paris when he receives the call. Which is supposedly 20 minutes into Paris.
Hang on. Go back to the part about Tim getting the call and coming to Gotham for the Blackest Night. Did it actually say in Red Robin that that's what it's for, or was that just? Are you just assuming that that's for Blackest Night?
Blackest Night Batman. Dick calls Tim.
In
Blackest Night Batman number one, it says that Red Robin is in Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
And Red Robin number one, we see that he's in Paris. But 20 minutes into Paris, he's already doing a crime. And if that's the case, directly after that crime, mind you, he's attacked by the League of Assassins. And if he's attacked by the League of Assassins, we'll see in the next issue of Red Robin that 24 hours later, he's already in Berlin.
Yeah, exactly.
There wouldn't have been any time there for the Blacksmith.
But maybe
he went back to Paris. Maybe he went back to Paris.
And then he went to Iraq and found the bat painting.
And now you're fucking with my continuity.
I'm
Tim Drake.
Maybe that's Chris Yost's fault for writing so many damn dates in the book every 5 minutes.
That's not his fault. He's writing an ongoing series. Who is he to adapt to an event?
He didn't have to date every single time he showed up in a new area.
This is specific. He has to.
Batcave, 645.
Alright, well guys, we're going to be in Batman continuity hell all night, so let's just stop there.
Following Red Robin dictation between the hours of 9:43 and 9:44.
Because of the continuity problems, I give this issue a F. But because the art is nice, and because I respect Peter Tomasi for trying to make continuity work, I give it A D.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Blackest Night, Batman. Hate, rage, continuity, Red Robin and Bat Caves.
I thought it was fine.
And there's the final on the Blitz.
Well, I'm better than you.
Well, just before we wrap it all up for the night. Just before we wrap it up here for the podcast, I just wanted to put a little something here because I was reading a little online because we always talk about Rebels and we've had Tony here on the podcast. But Guys, quick, you know, 5 second here. Thoughts on Starro's new origin, Kuhan?
What? Oh, Starro's new origin. Yeah, I didn't read that.
Ray.
I actually enjoy it. I mean, it's pretty interesting. They see him as a raving, you know, freaking Viking lord or however, or Spartan Viking lord mesh. I don't know how you would say he is, but it's interesting. I like it.
What about you, Mew?
I love the origin story. That was a great story. I mean, we finally get to see exactly how Starro the species met with Starro the man, who originally wasn't called Starro, of course.
Right.
That combination of him getting that baby Queen Starro and just a species communal link where everyone who died helping prepare the Queen Starro's birth of a new race, every single one of their hatreds when they died just passed on to each being until it's just this one being left with the supreme hatred, and that even overwhelms the Queen Starro, so he forces take control over it.
I don't hear the pure joy in Mew's voice.
Yes, there was a lot of joy in there.
I'm excited.
He got the violet ring right there. What about
passion.
You, Wes?
I didn't Love. Read the issue, but I read what happened. It seems like an interesting concept. I'll be picking up Rebels.
And he's quiet there. And Andrew?
Didn't read it. I meant to buy it. My store did not carry it, and they offered to order it for me. I decline that. I have it coming on eBay.
All right. I went through it, too, and I don't share the joy of Mew, but I definitely liked it, so I'll leave it at that. So, you know, everybody, read Rebels, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, Mew.
Yes. I know. Not my fault.
You know where I'm going with that.
Uh-oh.
Blame my mom. We're freaking broke. I need a ride. They're sitting on my freaking thing right on top of my DVDs.
Oh, and here we go. All right. Well, if you would like to send us love mail, reviews, hate mail, and a few other things here, or leave us some contact on iTunes, please send your to glspotlight@gmail.com. That's glspotlight@gmail.com. I'm actually going to read a little something from the iTunes review here first, but I'm going to turn it over to Wes. Wes, go right ahead.
Yeah, find us at glspotlight@gmail.com, Twitter page at twitter.com/glspotlight, our phone number 206-337-8210.
That changed, just so you know, it's not the same one as before.
Yes, this is a new phone number. We apologize. Again, it's 206-337-8210. Visit Speedster site. For all things Flash, speedstersite.proboards.com. Visit the YouTube page, youtube.com/geospotlight. And that should be it.
All right. And, well, me, I have two little reviews to read. I want to read from Emrys in 2002. This show is fantastic, in-depth discussions of one of my favorite comic book characters, G.L. Kyle Rayner, and his supporting cast. The only thing that could make this podcast better is they stopped forcing some jokes and laid off the infighting for the sake of fighting. Yeah, that doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. Otherwise, the interviews are fantastic, and when working together, this cast is funny and entertaining. But the Kraken, he basically says the only good thing about the podcast is its name. If I heard this podcast before reading my first Green Lantern issue, I would have killed myself. This is horrible. This humor is horrible. The fact that the host wanted Megan Fox to play Carol Ferris made me lose all respect for the host. If casting like that ruined so many movies, kick rocks.
Wait, who wanted Megan Fox as like Carol Ferris?
It was not me.
Who wanted Megan Fox as Carol Ferris? Who said that?
I never said that, and she was way too young.
I think we were making a joke about it one time. I don't know. I think these people just don't get our humor.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry for writing this review.
Wes, the red ring is not going to save you from my passionate and Black Lantern ring over here.
You are a Nazi.
Andrew, what about you? Anything to say?
Not so much. Just check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. Check out my little random videos at www.youtube.com/NeoDoubleBane.
And Mew, anything to say?
Check us out. Keep listening to the cast. Keep reading the books. Oh. You know, we'll always be here. until we die.
Oh,
and we'll come back.
One thing.
3 days later.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the end of these casts. There are tidbits of hilarity, and it just cannot be given words.
You're not supposed to tell them that, though. Gotta be.
Correct. When do they read my blooper reel before my wedding? Anyhow, Ray, what about you?
I have nothing to say. Just send your questions, your comments, whatever, to the same phone number, 206-337-8210, our new number. Hopefully you actually send some questions to us, especially send some questions to us this weekend for Ryan.
Yes, please do.
So for his typical days happening on this Sunday.
Send them or die.
Send them or not die, and do not listen to me. I sadly won't be here this Sunday coming up. I will be away in Connecticut, but I will try to have my friend's laptop with me and have free Wi-Fi, so I may be able to drop by. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll find out. It's an all-question show because it's before my big sabbatical, before the wedding and everything. So, yeah, I guess send your questions and email. Kuan, anything from you?
Send them or Kanye West will get you.
Oh, see, you got it right there. Well, forever.
Hold on. So that was just my joke before I start talking. You know, I've got my long-winded thing of things I say.
Horrible jokes.
I have a bunch of podcasts that I do somewhere. You can find the Real View Mirror at somewhere. I'm not really sure. I don't even know where my podcast is anymore. Find that on the internet.
It still exists. Search
it up. It exists. We're starting a new season soon. Let's see what else. It's because before it was all crappy, so we're like, hey, let's make it season two. Okay. Anyways, there's another podcast that I'm supposed to be doing, the Abridged Print podcast, which we recorded in July, and I've finished editing finally.
One episode.
Yeah.
One episode. That'll be out soon. There's an awesome webcomic that's published on the Green Lantern Corps message board every so often. The Little Lanterns, which I am sometimes the colors for, except for when I'm like, oh, I was supposed to color this 3 weeks ago, wasn't I? Episode 18
I'm noticing
of this podcast.
A pattern here.
Just
Wait,
a small one.
Is any of this important right now?
No, not really. Anyhow, Kuhan.
Plugging.
Okay. Twitter.com/Kuhan. Yeah. YouTube.com/SSJKuhan. That's it.
Just... Yep, even Andrew's daughter loves it.
I was going to say, what was that?
Oh, and find out what happens, what would Wes do if he ran DC Comics over at Wally's World blog. At the GreenLanternCorps.com.
And you really
there
have to
There would be three Batman
it.
Books, and that would be it.
Hey, did
I'll
you
be written
realize...
by Grant Morrison and draw my Frank Quietly.
Did you...
Quietly.
And they'd come out once a year.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can't kill what already has no life, then nerds are immortal.
Exactly, thank you. See, we're all good.
Now that's what I call relevant discussion.
Exactly. I agree, I agree. All right. Well, unless my mother wants to say something here, I think we're going to call it a night. So for everybody here on the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast, we will see you soon, and I'll see you in a couple days for my farewell podcast for the time being, everybody. But don't worry, we'll continue bringing you the latest Green Lantern news no matter what. This is Ryan Reed saying good night.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are properties of DC Comics and do not reflect on the authenticity of this podcast.
That would be my mother.
Hurrah.
There, we said hi.
I will do that.
Too bad it's not Bruce Wayne Batman, like, or I could do my Batman voice for the review.
Wait, I'm trying to figure this out. How is that?
And then my skull shows up and it was weird, like, yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, just like my mother is not, you know, about 20 feet away from me.
Because I'm awesome.
We know you're awesome.
Go on, stop lying.
You know what?
Ouch.
I'm the one who called you the gold standard. Remember that?
Suck it.
Everyone here.
I'm a rap master, and Bruce Lee, you are a rap master.
who is it?
It'll be a great podcast with Blackjack and Hookers. In fact, forget the podcast.
So is that at one or two?
I'm thinking it's going to be...